We have Scott and Allison here this morning. You guys had a baby just a week ago, didn't you? All right. Pretty amazing. Well, Allison had texted me this week and said she would love to share a testimony about all that's been going on with you guys and all that you've seen God do with Alana. And I said, oh, yeah, that'd be great. We would love that. So we just want to, why don't you come on up here? Let's welcome her up here. Welcome them up here. Good. All right.
Okay. I'm not giving a message, but got lots of notes here. Oh, sorry. Here. It was really cool what Joel prayed, because I was thinking about sharing these things, and I wanted to, my prayer for everybody here would be that their faith would be strengthened, and that they would find hope in our story. So just a little bit of background, because I know a lot of people have heard kind of what's been going on, but some people haven't. Actually, before that, I just wanted to say, the person that I am, I'm very fearful. I'm a fearful person of, like, what's to come, the future, those types of things. I remember back in high school being afraid of having a bad test score. So I remember my friends coming, and I'd always say, oh, I don't want to look at it because I'm so afraid that I'm going to get a bad score. So with that said, there's been a lot of things that I've had to face in this past week that have been very fear. It could be very fear-driven, but thankfully the Lord has protected me. So about 6 weeks ago, we went to the doctor because something was wrong. I didn't feel well. I hadn't been feeling well. They did an ultrasound, and they found that I had they called it a subchorionic hematoma, which is a very large internal bleed inside my uterus where the baby was. They were very concerned because they didn't know if it was a new bleed or if it was an old bleed. But from that point on, I had to be monitored very closely once a week, ultrasounds, all those things. So thankfully, people had been praying. The hematoma had stayed put, so there was no more bleeding, which was a great praise. But then at 31 weeks, so a couple weeks later, it was actually New Year's Eve, I started itching so bad, and I didn't know what was going on. My body was like in this massive, I wanted to rip my skin off. I didn't know what was going on, so I went to the urgent care, and they were very concerned because my liver enzymes had been elevated, and one of the things with liver is they always get concerned about preeclampsia. So they said, you gotta go to the ER. We get there, we go up to the OB, they monitor me, my heart rate is through the roof. I am like, I don't know what's going on here. They diagnosed me with cholestasis, which means that a hormone in my body had produced more bile acid, which caused my liver enzymes to be elevated. So the bile acid had actually gotten into my bloodstream, and that was what was causing all the itching. So Liz, my midwife, she said, okay, here's the new plan. You're going to be delivered at 36 weeks. The baby's coming out early. That's the best chance possible. We don't want a stillbirth. Even hearing that was very hard to hear. That was at 31 weeks. So then last week, right before she was born, literally every day there was something that happened. I started to get really bad headaches, which again is a sign of preeclampsia. We went in for an ultrasound and she finally breathed, so we didn't have to have a non-stress test, but then all of a sudden her heart rate jumped and they're like, whoa, time for a non-stress test. And then my blood pressure went high. I started to contract really strongly, and I just wanted to ignore it because I didn't want to go back to the hospital. So that wasn't going away. So I'm like, all right, I'm 33 weeks. This isn't good. And then the night that she was born, we were over at Joe and Megan's house, and I started bleeding pretty bad. And thankfully, we were at their house because Megan's like, you need to go in. And I'm like, no, it'll be all right. But I knew once I started bleeding, there was no chance that I could just sit here. So when I called the doctors, they were telling me that I'm going to call you back. We have to figure out if you're going to go to Milwaukee or stay in West Bend. And so within that amount of 10 minutes, I called my dad and I said, okay, meet us at the house. We're going to go drop off the kids, and then we got to go to the hospital. So as we're leaving, all of a sudden I got this huge wave of nauseousness. I didn't even think I was going to make it to the hospital. I said, we got to go. So we pack up the kids. We didn't have time to take them to the house. We shoot straight down to Milwaukee. And we get there, and all of the it's a children's hospital is just so big. I've never really been there. I was there to visit one person one time a while ago. But I get to the gate where it has the labor and delivery doors, and they're all closed. And I'm like, I'm freezing. I am like in massive pain. I feel so nauseous. I don't know where to go. Scott is he's taking the car and bringing the kids in. So I'm walking all the way down to the children's clinic. So Frederick Hospital is attached to Children's. So I'm walking to Children's, and I walk in, and I'm like, I'm bleeding. I need somebody's help. They call rapid response immediately. And within that time, right as I walk in the door, my nauseousness stops completely. And I was just thinking how, had we have gone to St. Joe's, we would have never, it just would have been horrible. She would have been transported down to Milwaukee. If we would have stopped to drop off our kids with my dad, probably wouldn't have made it. I'm just so thankful that I was nauseous and that it did stop. And when we got there, there was a rapid response team that came. So when they took my blood pressure, it was 177 over 100. My normal blood pressure is like 100 over 60. So it was just, they were so concerned. And so what was really awesome, though, was they shoot me down to the ER at Children's, which I should be going to Frederick. But since I was in the wrong area, they take me to Children's. And the first person that I see in the ER is Jordan Schneider, which brings great comfort to me because I didn't know anybody. I'm like, where are we going? And just to see his face was awesome. So he wheeled us into a room. He's like, I'm going to be praying for you. It was just awesome to see him there. So then they transported me to triage to figure out what is going on. They didn't know. There was obviously bleeding, but they didn't really understand. I was 33 and a half weeks. So the doctor finally comes in after a little while, and I start to get nervous because I'm having contractions about 2 minutes apart. And they come in, and they're like, well, we're just going to check you to see where you're at. So then we have a different conversation. And I was at 7 centimeters. So at 10, you're ready to push. So I was very close to having this baby. And so we get to they rush me into the room. The NICU team, the neonatal intensive care unit team, didn't even have time to come down and talk to us because it went so fast, which could have put fear in my heart because I'm like, is she going to be able to breathe? What are we up against here? So she came out and they immediately they looked at her, they assessed her, and they were able to put her on my chest, which was just an awesome praise. Because a lot of kids that age where they're so small, they have to get put on oxygen right away. There's just no time. Or there's a lot of problems. There's a lot of things they have to assess. So they turn around and they're like, she looks great. She was crying, which was just awesome. I was always fearful of that, not knowing if she was going to be okay. So that was just amazing when they said she didn't need oxygen because she's 3 pounds, 10.9 ounces, super, super little. They need a lot of help breathing. They need a lot of help with a lot of things. And just the fact that she didn't need that was just awesome. So after the delivery, though, I knew that I was up against some pretty massive challenges. Breastfeeding for me never went well with my other three children. There's a lot of people who know the situation about that. But with this one, I don't have the ability to just breastfeed. It's a very challenging process because since they're so little, they don't have the ability to swallow, suck, and breathe at the same time. So it's a really big process and they're so tired because they're so little. So just the fact that they said, you're gonna have to start pumping, I like cringe because pumping has always been such a hard thing for me. So that was a challenge that I was up against. I was facing the fear of, is there anything wrong with her? They whisked her up to the NICU right away. And then I've always been really sore after pregnancy. I've always not felt great. So what's miraculous is that I didn't get sore at all. I mean, she was 3 pounds, 10.9 ounces, but I feel completely healed. I've never felt that way with the other three. And it's just awesome because I have to pump all the time. I have to get up and walk around. I've never been able to do that with my other three kids. I've always had my poor husband here doing everything for me. So that's just an awesome praise. And then Alana didn't need any interventions at all. So that is just, if you walk into the NICU, there's 70 beds and there's 60 about right now that babies are in there. There's about 60 babies. And as you walk down the wing, so there's about 12 kids that are in our wing, and you just look down every single room, there's oxygen, there's breathing tubes, there's just massive, massive things that have to be intervened for these babies to survive. So when I look in Alana's room and I just see her in a little box that is keeping her warm, I just praise the Lord. I mean, it's just, there's no other explanation for that. So now my husband's going to talk about the scary time.
So I wanted to just give an encouragement from the perspective of the husband through this whole situation. And I'm sure there's other husbands out there that are going through situations. It might not be with pregnancy. It might be with other things. But just kind of like the husband's role as your wife is going through difficult things. Well, first off, before that, she was talking about being itchy. And that night when she was really itchy, I remember thinking to myself, I'm like, yeah, it's really dry. My skin kind of itches too, but hers was completely different. I thought she was just dry skin, suck it up, but that wasn't the case. So the husband, from the husband's perspective, when you know very little about the medical field or how to care for people or anything like that, I think the one thing that I've found throughout all of this is that we really need to just trust in God and put our hope in prayer and just encouragement in those ways. And I'm not perfect at that, far from it. But I found that through this, it's like I feel helpless. I feel like I can't do anything. I can't help her at all in some of these ways. And you just kind of sit there and you just kind of call out to God and say, God, what would you have for this situation? What would you have me do? You just got to put complete trust on Him in these situations. One of those specific situations, which we've had the pleasure as a husband and wife to see each other pass out within 1 year. Many of you remember I was giving a sermon and I had some poisoning from spraying my apple trees and I passed out right here. So my wife was terrified in that situation. Well, I got to see that from the other perspective now. So right after birth, we're in a room on the seventh floor, and you have to go across the hall to the elevators, up to the eighth floor, over to the NICU to get to where Alana is staying in the NICU. And we brought Allison over there to feed right maybe four hours after birth. And from Allison's experiences, you would think the birth would be the worst part, but it seems to be after that always. They say afterwards it's easy, no problem. And she's had these problems after every single time. So Allison, we roll Allison up there. She's feeding Alana. And all of a sudden, she's like, I feel really nauseous. I don't feel good. So it's like, okay, let's put Alana back. Let's go back to the room. And as we're rolling Allison in the wheelchair back to the room, we finally get to the desk right in front of where our rooms are. And there's a woman there who's helping out. I don't think she's a nurse or a doctor or anything. And all of a sudden, Allison turns white, like bluish white from what I saw, bluish white, probably what I looked like up here. And all of a sudden, she just wasn't responsive, and her head kind of like cocked back, and her eyes kind of rolled behind her head, and it was terrifying. And at that moment, it's like, what can you do? I don't know how to help her. I can't help her. About 10 doctors rushed in to help out. But all the husband can really do at that point is call out to God and just trust in Him and trust that He knows what He's doing. And even in these tough times, how can we lean on Him and look to Him and know that He has this all for our good, and that it's a situation He's working for a purpose. So from the husband's perspective, really drench yourself in prayer and encouraging your wife and just being there for her and leaning on the Lord in those situations.
So that week, I just wanted to say quickly that every day I just started to get, right before she was born, I started to get angrier and angrier about what next? What's the next thing that's going to happen? Why is this happening to me? And I started realizing in my heart, I became really proud. I became to a point where I just felt like I deserve an easy pregnancy. I don't deserve anything, really. And the Lord brought me to 1 Peter 5. I know Jackie had shared that last week, but it's really cool because God was just speaking to me saying, you know, he opposes the proud, but he shows favor to the humble. So humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, and he will lift you up in due time. And it's just awesome how the timing of all these things, he literally is lifting me up in this time. So when we got discharged, I was able to stay in Alana's room. And I'm the first night that I'm there, I'm eating. And there's like a family room right where the eighth floor is. And you just look out in this like beautiful area in Milwaukee. I can just look out the window. And I just sat there thinking like, how in the world did I get here? I'm looking around like, this is just unbelievable how I'm here. And it brought me to Proverbs 16:9, where it says, in their hearts, humans plan their course, but it's the Lord that establishes their steps. So I fought tooth and nail to get there. I'm like, I don't want this. I don't want to be here. But it's the Lord that establishes these steps. So the other thing that was really cool was I was reading in Psalm 29 that night, and it was just saying, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me and my heart will not fear, though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and seek him in his temple. And then he says, he will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. And I was just thinking about how I'm really high. You know, we're on the eighth floor here. And I just felt like the Lord was just covering me with his wings, that I was able to just be safe in his dwelling. I just sat there just in awe of the Lord, how I just don't even, I could never plan that myself. So it was just really neat. So I just wanted to say, too, in the NICU, it's very intense. It's a very intense place. They monitor every single stitch of everything, which I'm very thankful for. But the beeping that goes on in those rooms is just nonstop. So if the oxygen levels go down, beep, 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 beep. If the heart rate goes down, there's a massive, really loud beep. And they call those Brady's if their heart rate drops and they got to run in and figure out what to do. Alana's had a few of those. It's very scary. But really, as you walk down the hall, it's just nonstop doctors and nurses running in these rooms. So that's happening all day long. So one of the things that I see very clearly when I'm there is the difference of people who are hopeless, droopy faces, super sad. And it is, it's an intense place. But it's so different when you know the Lord and you trust in him versus you don't have anything to hope for. You have nothing to hold on to. So that's very obvious to me. Back when we found out about all these things that have happened, one of the verses that came to me was Psalm 71:14, which says, but as for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. And I was just thinking about that's exactly what happens in this place. When I'm sitting there, I feel protected in prayer, but I constantly feel like I always have hope. When I'm looking around and I see all these beepings and all these things that nobody has a clue what's going on except the doctors and nurses, I always have hope, though, in the Lord. So one of the things that moves me in this place is that I want so badly for the other families to cling to this hope rather than circumstances to change, because there's some things that just can't change in that place. It makes me really stare at how fleeting our life really is. You see these babies who are 25 weeks, who are not even a pound, or babies who are 3 months old that have been there for 3 months. It's overwhelming. Yesterday, something that I was literally weeping in my room was, there was a baby who the doctors rushed in. I didn't really know what was going on, but they started the oxygen manually. So they have this like blue thing that they just pump into the baby's mouth. And then there was a big, massive machine that came in. There was a trach that came in. There was a breathing tube that came in. There's probably 15 nurses and doctors in that room. And what was so hard was the mom was sitting outside the hall through the window looking to figure out what's going to go on with her baby. She was just staring, hoping that situation would change. And my heart was so moved for her, because when you hope, you want your baby to be well, but when you, that's the only thing that you cling to. That's sad, because that situation is not going well, and it didn't. So I just pray that I have an opportunity to talk to her, because I'm going to spend a lot of time there. Sorry, I feel like this is really long, but there's just so many things that are just so good. I'll try to cut this. My dad and my stepmom, who are here today, they came and saw Alana a couple days ago, and that was the day that Sarah sent out a message about Alana's condition. So her heart, or her body temperature went really low. So I asked the nurse yesterday, I said, what's a low body temperature? And she said, anything under 36.5 is little concerning. So 36.2, we got to get that up. Alana was at 34.4. Very concerning. They said usually babies at that rate, they can't get back up because it takes so much energy for them to get back up. So they lose a lot of weight. It just doesn't go well. So Sarah had messaged that out, and my dad and Karen were there. And it was just, my dad has, I think the Lord has really given him the gift of loving children. He loves his grandchildren, that's very obvious. And I just saw the distress in his face when he saw Alana. He probably wasn't expecting all the tubes and the things that were there. And I was thinking about how my dad is always like a funny guy, very, very laughable, very easy to be around. And I was thinking about the verse about let your laughter be turned to mourning. And I never really understood what that meant, but again, when I read that after they left, it says, God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. And I thought, is that in 1 Peter? Am I reading this right? Literally, those two things were paralleled to what the Lord was kind of bringing me through. So it says, you know, grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves, and he will lift you up. So once again, when that news happened, and that was very serious, all the doctors came running in, the nurses came running in, they're like, we gotta get her in a box, we gotta get this heat up, we gotta go. I just got overwhelmed. I was like, oh, what in the world? Right at that time, Charlotte Schneider had texted me asking if she could bring me pancakes and syrup from her house, which was just awesome. So she met me there, and I was just, again, the Lord's kindness to us is just perfect timing every time. It's literally overwhelming for me to see. She also had two Brady's that day, which meant her heart rate dropped really fast, and that's always very concerning to them. They say at the end when they can be discharged, if they have one Brady, it takes 5 more days for them to come back home. So it's a very serious thing, thing for them. So after I ate, I'll probably just share this last thing here, but after I ate, I went back to the room, and I miraculously fell asleep in her room as all the doctors and nurses are running in trying to figure out what's going on. And a couple of weeks ago, I met with Michelle Christofferson, and she was talking to me about just worry. And she sent me this really awesome article about the life of David and how his son was after, Absalom was after his throne. And in order to do that, David knew that he would have to die. So he goes to a cave and he hides in this cave and he sees all these, you know, adversaries around him that are out to kill him. And what does David do? But he sleeps in the cave. He's not riddled with fear or anxiety. He says, in peace, I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. And I literally felt like I was David in that place when I fell asleep for 3 hours. I didn't even have a long stretch of that much time to sleep in that whole time that she's been born. And when I woke up, the doctor said her body temperature is back to normal. She can feed from me, which is literally a miracle. Most babies can't even try to feed usually about until they're 35, 36 weeks. So here she's 33 and a half weeks and she's feeding from me, which is, that alone is unbelievable. But the fact that they got her body temperature up in that quick of time is unreal. And that is so awesome to see the body pray and the Lord answer in a second. Just when I woke up, I'm like, is this the same day? I mean, it was awesome. So I went to the verse about Jeremiah 33, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know. And that was like unsearchable. I was just hoping that her body temperature would be up by 1 degree, and there it was back to normal. So,
yeah, and the really cool thing is this hope that Allison's talking about, and how some people put their hope in just the circumstances of this life, or having a good life, or making sure that our kids live and are healthy. Those are all great things, and we all want those things, and the Lord can do miracles in those things. But the hope that we're holding on to, the thing that we're talking about, is this hope in eternity, because our life is so short and eternity is so long. And the question is, all these circumstances of life, are they going to make us turn away from the Lord, or are they going to make us turn towards the Lord and say, Lord, you have everything in your control, everything in your hand, and the hope of eternity is greater than anything we experience here on this earth. And we go through trials, and we've gone through a lot of trials. I'm sure you guys have gone through a lot of trials in your life. And these trials are meant to strengthen us and make us turn to God and trust in God and look at how good He is, because He's doing something in us through these trials to transform our character, our perseverance, and just to love Him and trust Him more. And we've seen that through this, and we want to share that hope with other people. And through these trials, you get opportunities like you would never think. Through these hard times, people will come and talk to you and say, man, this is really tough. And it's like, and then you get an opportunity to share what your hope is actually in and what hope for eternity you have, rather than just these circumstances. So the hope we're talking about is for eternity, whether Alana ended up being well 100% or whether she ended up dying at birth. We still trust in God. We know that He's in control, and it's meant for His glory and to transform us in this life so that we can come to Him more and more for eternity. And we were talking about this, and I think we were talking about this too, but these trials that we have in our life, and I'm sure all of you have some type of trial going on in your life right now. We're not the only ones, I hope. But it reminded us of trees and how trees, when they're battered with wind and rain and the elements, which would be considered like trials, their roots actually grow deeper and stronger so that tree doesn't fall over. So it might bend a little bit, right? And we bend through these different trials that we have in our life. It hurts, right? It's painful. But ultimately, it's meant to grow our roots deeper so that we become stronger. And those roots are the Lord that are making us stronger as we get older and as we grow and go through this life. So we're not trees that will fall down easily when trials come, because those trials are meant to make us stronger.
And that was a cool picture, because one of the things my mom had said was that Alana was facing a lot of adversity inside my womb. So I had massive bleeds. I had these weird itching cholestasis stuff. And she said, really, Alana had to mature faster because she was up against adversity. And I was just thinking, what an awesome parallel for our lives. When we're up against adversity, we mature faster in the Lord, where we cling to the Lord. Or we go the other way and get angry, and the Lord brings us right back and says, no, this is the way, walk in it. So other miracles I just wanted to really quickly say was my sister Jillian and her husband CJ got to the hospital right at 8 o'clock, which at 8 o'clock, children have to leave. They're not allowed to be there anymore. So my mom was like, well, what are we going to do with them? Because here we're being rushed every which way. There's no way for our kids to go anywhere. And right in the matter of time, my sister got there. My sister Colleen from New York, she was able to come here and stay with us for a week and a half, which has never happened. It's just an awesome blessing to have her home and have the kids being taken care of in that way. I'm able to talk to our cleaning lady every day. She comes into our room full of joy, and she just talks about, we talked about just praying for these kids in the NICU. So as she's cleaning, she walks down and she just starts praying. It's just an awesome thing that I'm able to talk to her about that. And then I asked Scott to have Addie write a Bible verse on a note card to put on Alana's bed. And Addie could have chosen any Bible verse, but she chose 1 Peter 5:7, which says, cast all your cares upon the Lord, for He cares for you. That was actually the exact verse that I had read that day that she was born. So it was just an awesome thing. I asked Joel and Scott if they could just play the song, God of Miracles. The awesome thing is that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we change, but God never changes, and his faithfulness is so strong. And I just pray that the people who have prayed for us, that your faith would just be strengthened. The prayers have been heard, and I see that being answered every single day, every single minute that I'm there. I feel so protected. I don't feel fearful when I'm there. And when I see the other moms who are, we can't leave the room because we're so scared, and I don't feel that. I just feel full of joy when I'm there. And that there's no other explanation, because back in high school, I'm very fearful. You know, I'm a fearful person, but the Lord has brought me through so much, and I'm just so thankful for that. So, and the people who have no idea what I'm talking about, you know, who maybe don't really have faith, I just pray that you would consider how fleeting your life really is, that you would consider that our life here is just a mere breath. I mean, when I look at the babies in that room, there are babies dying there, and it's just, that's even a shorter amount of time. But our life is not forever here. So what is it that you hope for? Is it for circumstances to go just right? There's a far greater hope than that. We are up against still a lot of painful things to come, I'm sure, and just a lot of beeping and a lot of things that are going to happen. But I don't hope in a circumstance to go just perfectly. My hope is in the Lord, that he's going to sustain me through it. So I wanted to just sing this together, because this song was written by a guy who had just lost his baby. And the song was actually a confession to God about how he is good and his works are wonderful. So let's just sing that together, just in praise. Oh,
we're going to hold on. We're going to sing that in a couple minutes here. First, though, you guys just stay up here. We're going to shift gears, obviously, for this morning. And the message that I was going to preach, I'm going to preach that next week. And are we just going to keep the kids up here? We got like 15 minutes. Yeah, okay, we'll just keep the kids up here. And look at Daniel chapter 3 with me. Just look at Daniel chapter 3. This is where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are getting ready to face the fiery furnace. And it's a big deal. Right, they've got their trial that they're in the middle of, and they're being tested whether or not they're going to follow the Lord in the midst of their trial, or whether they're going to freak out and just kind of bend to the pressures of what everyone around them was telling was the right thing to do. So we're in Daniel chapter 3, and of course Nebuchadnezzar had put out this commandment: you can't worship anybody but me. You gotta fall before me. When you see this graven image of me, everybody has to fall before it, but they didn't, they refused to do that. Nebuchadnezzar caught wind of it. So we're in Daniel chapter 3, verse 13, page 740, by the way, if you're following along in the provided Bible. It says this: then Nebuchadnezzar, in furious rage, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said to them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I've set up?" So this is their trial, right? Of course, we have our own trials that we go through. This is their trial. We're getting to kind of peer into what they're going through. Verse 15, "Now if you are ready, when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, to fall down and worship the image that I've made, well and good. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into a burning fiery furnace, and who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands?" Wow, that's a challenge right there. "Who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace." And I want to just say that out this morning. God is able. God is able to deliver. God is able to deliver from anything, right? He is. It says this, finishes in the last part of 17, "And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king." That's right. And God will deliver us. One way or another, God will deliver us from the trials of this life. And I've seen many people delivered from the trial through God intervening here on earth. And I've seen many people delivered from their trial by being brought into the presence of the Lord. One way or another, the Lord delivers us. And Verse 18, though, I think is so pertinent. It says, but if not, but if not. In other words, if God is able to, God is able to remove us from this fiery furnace that we're going, that you want to throw us into. He's going to deliver us out of your hands one way or another. We're not subject to you. But if he doesn't deliver us out of the fiery furnace, be it known to you, O King, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. And I love what Scott and Allison had just said, that God could have done what he chose to do. And of course, we all prayed, and I think God answered the prayer, and we praise God for that. And we just are like, thank you, God. We prayed for the health of this child, and we prayed for the well-being of you and all that you went through. But I love your attitude. I love this. I love it. And I think God is so pleased by this. Your hope wasn't just in that temporal thing. Your hope was in God himself. And our reward this morning is not just the good things that God can give us, and he does give us, and he does answer, and he can do it, he can deliver, and he does. And we praise God for that. And we ask for that. Our hope is in the true, living God Almighty, that he cares for us, that he loves us, that he's come for us, that he wants to set us free. That's amazing. So what I actually want to do is, before we sing this song, I want to get our small group up here, Scott and Allison's small group. Come on up here. If you're part of this small group, we want to surround them. I'll lead us in prayer, but anybody who's a part of this small group, come on up here. And then we're going to sing this song, God of Miracles, and I'm just going to open up the time of ministry to the rest of the body. And then I'm going to call the elders up, is what I'm going to do. So while this song, while we're doing this song, while the band is singing the song, God of Miracles, and maybe you're going through something, maybe you're going through your own trial. And as you heard Allison and Scott share this morning, you were just reminded to look to the Lord. Look to the Lord, look to the Lord. But sometimes it's tough to do that, you know, right? Moses, remember Moses, in the Old Testament, there's a battle going on, and Moses is lifting up his arms, and he noticed that whenever he lifts up his arms, the battle's being won. And then whenever he puts his arms down, Israel's losing the battle, so he's lifting his arms. He's trying to do this all day, but it's kind of challenging, to be honest with you. I had a teacher, I got to wrap this up too myself. I had a teacher who, he would do this thing. He would test you. He would have this, let's see how long you could hold up this little rock, just this little thing. I mean, you're like, man, I can do that. No problem. You get to like 1 minute, you're like, oh man, I don't know, like I can do the 2 minutes, 3 minutes. You're like, I mean, even the strongest guys, you know, after a while, the littlest rock, their arm falls down. After a while, right, our arms just fall down, and we can't do this on our own. And so Aaron came alongside Moses, and he helped him keep his arms lifted to the Lord. And yes, maybe you're in a trial right now. And you're turning to the Lord, you're trying to look to the Lord, but you're having a hard time keeping your arms and your eyes focused on the Lord. And so we want to minister to you this morning. And so either while we're playing this song, if you want to come up here, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. We're going to have the elders up here. And we want to just spend some time praying with you, lifting your arms up. Be an Aaron, so to speak, for you, and just take you before the Lord. One of my favorite verses, one of my favorite instances in the New Testament, when Jesus, the disciples couldn't heal this young boy who was being thrown into a fire, right? He was being demonized, and Jesus just simply said this: "Bring the boy to me." I love that, because that's what we do with each other. There's no power in us, right, to do something, but we can bring each other to Jesus. We can do that. We can lift each other up. So we want to surround you guys. Let's all come around them, our small group. Let's come around these guys. I'll pray. Oh, my goodness. I forgot about that. Okay. That is awesome. The middle name for Alana, what is the middle name for? Azaria. Okay, the middle name for Alana is Azaria. They got that name from the angel that protected Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. That's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome. Actually, before this morning, as they were talking, I was just praying, okay, Lord, what direction? And I just felt like the Lord say, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. And I just felt like the Lord was saying, just listen. Listen to what you guys are saying and listen to what I'm saying. So let's pray for these guys. Lord, we thank you for Scott and Allison. Thank you for what you're doing, God. We thank you for just your hand over them, for Allison and her, your hand over her body, the miracles that you've done, God, the miracles you've revealed, the way you've revealed yourself. We thank you for that, Jesus. And we thank you for Alana Azaria and the way that you have protected her from this fiery furnace. Lord, we know that you're powerful, that you're able to deliver, God, and so we look to you. But our hope isn't in temporal things. Our hope is in you, Jesus. Our hope is in your presence. Our hope is in your ability, Lord God, to bring us into your presence, to take us from darkness and bring us into light. And we thank you for that, Jesus. So we just pray for continued protection over Scott, Alice, and the family, for Alana, God, that you'd continue to make her strong. We thank you for the doctors and the nurses and all the clinicians at Children's Hospital. Lord, we just pray that you would bless them, God. Continue to give them wisdom, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand up together. We want to sing this song. And if the Lord was just, if you're going through something and you just want prayer, you're having a hard time looking to the Lord, elders, why don't we come up here? And we'll just spend some time praying with you.